Internet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey stats, detailed pedigree data, exclusive brisk pace, speed, and class ratings, free membership, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Creative Cause was a brilliant two-year-old. Never out of the money. He won the Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes, the Grade 2 Best Pal, ran second in the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity, third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Then he came back at three to win the Grade 2 San Felipe, finished a head-bobbing second in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, and a game third in both the classic Grade 1 Preakness and the Grade 2 San Vicente. At career's end, he had been in the money in 9 of his 10 starts and earned over $1 million. And he has the unique distinction of having defeated every horse he ever met. Never saw a horse he couldn't beat. Creative Cause was an exceptional two-year-old, and now his first foals are two-year-olds. What's more, he's by Giants Causeway, who, in addition to topping the sire list three times, has led the two-year-old sire list twice. And don't forget that Creative Cause's dab also won Grade 1 Stakes and earned over $1 million. Creative Cause, $15,000 live foal to Mr. and Mrs. Barrett and C. Jones, Airdrie Studs. See the website at airdriestud.com, and keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
From the horse capital of the world, it's Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis on Fox Sports 1580.
And down the fence they come!
We'll talk about the horses.
Oh, whirl away, pull away.
The people.
Here comes Jim Cam down the middle of the track now.
And the history of the thoroughbred industry.
And it's Trick Materials that went to play 2.5 lengths.
Now live from Kentucky's bluegrass region, here's Ursel.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center. It's a kind of a cloudy morning. The rain's all around us, but in here yet, anyway. Last time I looked at the... I'll give you a weather report now. Ursel Ellis,
this is just another superior service that you get here on Horsedale. So Ursel's going to start doing the weather. He's going to start doing the news. He's start doing break-ins. He's going to do everything for us. It's going to be unbelievable.
If
you thought this show had already hit the apex.
More to come.
Oh, no. He's still working on it.
That's great.
Can I continue?
Yes, sir.
All right. Who we got on the show today? Mike Evans is coming by. Mike's got a string of horses out here. And talking to him yesterday, and he is operating farms in Bourbon County, down at Athens, and in Midway. Now, how in the world is he doing that? I know he's got a son named Michael, so maybe he's got another son running the other place. I'll find out, you know. But if he's doing it, I couldn't pay his gasoline bill. Much less get around like he does anyway. But started out with Shaq Parrish, I think he said he was with Shaq for a long time. Shaq's a great guy. And so we're going to find out a little bit more about Mike. Michael Blowen is here. He's already interrupted me once this morning. That's about par for the course. Dr. Brian Walridge, maybe he'll stop by between palpating mares. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been running around like crazy.
I bet.
He's been really, really busy.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Keeps him out of trouble. But anyway, it'll stop at training too, won't it?
Yeah.
He had a filly out here was training anyway. Well, okay, we're going to try to get in touch with Steve Moody, did we?
Uh-huh.
I know what's the matter with Steve.
Basketball.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, he was up watching
basketball. Hangover.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I've had those before. Your eyes just boink up and down, boink, boink.
Yeah, well, I put a disc in to record the game with Kentucky the other night in the second. I stayed up for the first half. I couldn't stay up the second half. So I got it recording and everything. I was settled down in the chair the next day. I'm going to watch that second half. The damn disc didn't work, you know.
Should have heard that. Could have heard that. You probably did hear that.
Anyway, story of my life. I need to, that serves me right. I should have checked it beforehand.
Speaking of technical things, may I insert an apology here? Our website won't let me on. It changed my password, and I've tried and tried, and I took it someplace, and they couldn't do it, so I have to get that fixed. Monday. So I'm hoping the shows will be up Monday or Tuesday as soon as I can get
Jackie
that fixed.
Jackie puts the shows up. You know, she's responsible for that. And I think we're all the way up through about 2004 now, aren't we?
Somewhere like that. I tell you what, those passwords hate me. Every time I go online to check, because I do online banking checking stuff, I have to change my password every time.
Really?
So the last one, I put the name of the bank for my password. Such and so bank, ugh. I hope they read my password.
Okay. Oh, well, anyway, then let's see. Of course, Michael Blowen is here, and maybe we'll get Steve Moody. Maybe we won't. We'll try him anyway, because they're running the inside information stakes down at Gulfstream today.
The Rebel, the Southwest Stakes, it's a big day.
Big day. It's a great big day. But I mentioned that one specifically because I may, if I've got time in this, so I'm going to do a little bit something about inside information. Champion handicapper in 1994. Azari Stakes at Oaklawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because she was champion handicap mare 02? Yeah, I believe it was 02, something like that.
She was something.
She was something. Okay.
She's so overseas now.
Is she?
Mm-hmm. Where?
I'm not exactly sure. I'll do my research and find out. But she's on our list to bring back whenever she retires.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Good.
Did they know she's on your list?
Oh, yeah. They asked for my list.
Oh, nice.
They let me make a list. It's so cool.
That is just
Charismatics
fantastic.
On the list and Came Home's on the list.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. How's Alphabet Soup doing?
He's the best.
I got to come see him. I love that horse.
He's so sweet. And Stacy Clark Rogers, who works, you know, runs TAA now, and is a former exercise writer and jockey, and she worked for Frank Stronach at Adena Springs. Anyway, she loved Alphabet Soup, and when he retired, she wanted him.
Oh, you know, nice.
But we got him, so she came yesterday to visit him.
Oh, nice! Yeah. That's great.
She always brings him treats. He's the sweetest horse. He's the first one on the tour now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, because he's so nice,
kind. Yeah.
Yeah. And we show people his Breeders' Cup. After his Breeders' Cup win in 1996 when he won the Classic and beat Cigar and Louis Couture, there's a wonderful scene at the end of the race because Chris McCarron rode him. Mm-hmm. And Chris is completely out of breath. He can hardly catch his breath.
Yeah.
And his brother Greg is on the horse to come out and interview him. Greg's got the microphone, and Chris is trying to catch his breath. And Chris says, you know, as you can tell, you really got to work this horse. You know, you just got to stay with him and work with him and work with him and work with him to the end. He says, I've never been this tired in my life. And then he turns around and he goes, oh, happy birthday. It's his brother's birthday.
Oh, what?
That's funny. Love it.
Oh.
Now, Chris is a great guy. And I spent a large part of last Saturday with Patrick Valenzuela after the show driving around.
Well, he's the one that was calling. He called the house because I told him it will be up. It will be up. And I got on there. And that stupid makes me crazy.
Well, he'll have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun hanging out with him, listening to his stories.
Oh, I bet.
That description of Arazi's Breeders' Cup ride, that was... You know, it was riveting.
That was. Yeah. He's very, he can really tell a story, and he was a terrific, terrific jockey. Still is, for that matter.
Yep. All right, well, let's see what else we're going to do. Oh, okay, some winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. Had a couple last night. Eduardo Calamori and Michael Ann Ewing both won races at Turfway. Eduardo won another one also at... Mahoning Valley. I can't get used to that. Let's see. Pavel Mateska won one at Turfway Park. Pavel trains over here at the training center right next door. Anthony Hamilton, nice young man. His daddy was a wonderful guy. And Tommy Mills won. So we're doing pretty good out of here. And what are you doing?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. All right, stakes races today. The only grade one, I think, is the Santa Margarita out in at Santa Anita.
How old are the horses in the Santa Margarita?
4-year-olds and up. Philly mare's going a mile and a grass.
Oh, my God.
No, a mile and an eighth on the dirt.
You didn't buy that, did you?
$10.
Michael bought.
I'm starting to have to buy them now. Okay. I can't get them for free over here.
Let's see the Rebel Stakes down at Oaklawn Park. It's got a field of 14. Wow. They must be a couple on the All-Stars.
Must be. Okay.
At Oakland also, it's...
They're all looking for those points to get in the Derby.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I wanted to know how...
That's got an interesting feel in there, that Patio Prado coat. Cherry Wine drew the way on the outside. He's number three. I kind of like it, coat. I like Patio Prado. Begin with, I liked his name.
Right.
And he's getting runners, and they're going to get better when they stretch out. Because, you know, he ran third in the Derby himself on the dirt, but he was really a grass horse, you know. But anyway, this Cherry Wine's an awful nice colt, so good luck to him today. But there's a bunch of nice horses in there. The Azari is stakes also at Oaklawn Park. It's a grade two race. Phillies and Mares going a mile on the 16th. The Inside Information, grade two down at Gulfstream Park, has drawn a field of 10. And they're running a Razorback also at Oaklawn Park. Where else would they run a Razorback? And that is a field of 10 going in that one also. So lots of stakes today, lots of good stakes and so forth.
It is.
So we'll see.
And the cats are in playing. So.
Pardon?
And the cats are playing. How about Middle Tennessee? Just love Middle.
Isn't that great?
Boy, I tore up a lot of people's,
If they weren't torn up just before that, I mean, when Yale won. I know.
Yeah, well, my
Ursel's alma mater.
No,
Patrick's.
What?
Patrick's.
Yeah. Yale, they wouldn't no more tolerate me than a man in the moon. I was lucky to go to UK.
You know, Patrick went to Yale.
Yeah.
And he used to come home and walk around UK to look at pretty girls.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Every school has its advantage.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Well, UK always had an abundance of pretty girls.
My school,
even in my day.
My school was playing in a tournament nobody ever heard of. It's like if you can't get into the NCAA or the NIT, they created a third tournament. It's kind of like... I don't know. It's on black and white
TV. Pop
somewhere.
Warner. Something
like that. That's where my school is, and they're 5-point underdogs.
You know, I'm
against some school you never heard of.
Shame on me, but I don't even know who's in the state finals, who's playing a state championship.
Dunbar won.
Dunbar's in the finals?
I don't know if they're in the finals, but they won. I'll look it up. They won. Who did they beat?
Do you know Rezzy? Good Lord. Know. All he does is go around here wearing blue.
Oh, I know.
You know?
I'm a Dunbar alum, too.
And you're a Dunbar alum? Yep. Okay. Okay, well, I've got one at Lafayette. And a graduate from Lafayette.
You graduated from there yourself?
And I graduated from Lafayette back in another century. Literally. But anyway, it's... my grandson got a golf scholarship to.
Oh, you have said that so many times.
Oh, and I'm so proud of him, I can't stand it.
One thing, weekly
his grandson is now 32.
No, he's not. No, he's a senior in high school. Anyway, Ben. And one thing he did not, and his. Not very good in math. He got that from Grandpa, but he certainly did not inherit my golf swing. I'll tell you that. He's got a little better one than that.
In today's culture, it's much more important to have a good golf swing.
Well, you're exactly right.
So if you can play golf, they'll hire you anywhere.
Yeah. Well, last Saturday at Santa Anita, the grade two $300,000 San Carlos Stakes was won by Kobe's Back, a 5-year-old by Flatter. Kobe's Back, winner of the Grade 2 Palos Verdes Stakes on February 7th. Sprinted 7 furlongs, 122-1. That'll win you a race or two. The day he won the San Carlos to boost his earnings over $952,000. He has won 5 stakes, and he came within a neck of winning the Grade 1 Santa Anita Sprint Championship. Flatter is also the sire of the 2016 Graded Stakes winner, Terrace. She goes today in a big stakes. She won the Grade 2 La Canada Stakes out at Santa Anita. She goes in that Grade 1 out there today. And she's earned more than $807,000. Now, Kobe's Back was bred by Joanne Murmett. She's a $480,000 graduate of the OBS. He is, I said, of the OBS sale. Terrace, winner of 5 stakes, 4 graded and placed in 2 Grade 1, was sold as a 2-year-old for, excuse me, so much money I can't say it. She bought $2,350,000 at the phase he tipped in November sale. She was bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dill Snyder. Flatter was the sire of 10 2015 stakes winners. He's by AP Indian. He stands for $30,000. Payable when the foal stands and nurses. He's at Claiborne Farm. So call Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252. Take a look at the website. It's been through Claiborne Farm.com. Man, I just moved them up the road.
Hey, gone. Different county, even.
Claiborne is good. Flatter was the, I think, when Bernie first went to Claiborne Farm, it's the first horse he got for him. You
is
know.
That right?
Yeah.
Good, nice sire.
Good old Bernie.
I can't forget it.
He had picked a winner there and have been doing it ever since, too, as far as I go. Go ahead, Jackie.
It's always wise and smart to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. We moved to Bourbon County. Hopewell Farm Company was recommended, and that's where we went. That was over 30 years ago, and they've been taking care of our insurance ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables, and they also cover our house, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, plus liability coverage. They've been right there whenever we needed them. Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. That means this is important. They work for us, not the insurance companies. Thus, they offer the best coverage, most competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurers. See, they want our business, and the insurance company wants their business, so you get the best deal. Contact the Hopewell Company. They'll give you no cost, no obligation review and comparison of your insurance. Hopewell Company, founded in 1955 by Joe McLean. They're at 820 South Main in Paris, 987-2347, or here's a Lexington number, 254-2431. You'll get great service. That's Joe, Ted, and Jody McLean.
Well, the Clay Ward Agency was founded in 1931 by Mr. James Clay Ward, and that agency has been providing the finest in equine insurance for over 80 years now, and they've been successful because of hard work, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. And those qualities are carried on today at the Clay Ward Agency. So whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are in a great position to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Nice people, Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess, great people to do business with. The number over there is 859-987-1861. Just remember the 1861 is the beginning of the Civil War. All right, the office is at 1102 Main Street right there in Paris, Kentucky. Now, of course, the Clay Ward Agency is very closely affiliated with Indian Creek. Indian Creek is a wonderful farm over in Bourbon County, and it's they've raised and boarded and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and it's a great place to board your horses. It's a great place for them to get your horses ready to sell. They represent you at all the major auctions. And, of course, a lot of the top horses from all around the world have been raised. First saw the light of day right there at the Clay Ward Agency. Let me give you the website. It's Indian Creek. It's IndianCreekKY.com. IndianCreekKY.com. Shaq Parrish and Nicky Dryan. Give them a call at 987-7443. Once again, it is IndianCreekKY.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursa Lele.
All righty.
I found it.
What'd you find?
Today is the semis, and Doss plays South Laurel.
Oh, Dunbar.
And Newport Catholic plays Dunbar.
Oh, okay. So they're playing in the morning, and then they'll play tonight.
No, they play... One of them, let's see, South Laurel, that one's at 8, and the Dunbar game is at 6:30.
Tonight?
Tonight, and then they play the final tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Oh.
At
Rupp Arena. Course, yeah, well, of course, that's where they're having it.
Yeah, so
they're in a parking lot, a parking space within 20 miles. Of
oh, I know. And do you know that the city has changed all their speed limits from 35 to 25? Because they said, most statistically, you're more likely to get run over at 35 than 25. I guess that's okay. I don't know. I try to avoid
it. You could set it at zero and nobody'd ever get hit.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I'm for that.
Nobody ever get anywhere either.
You'd have to walk.
Yeah, right.
I think we should have a walking day. Ooh, you can only go places you can walk to.
Oh, well, that's the barn and back for
Rusty
me.
Rusty shaking his head going on. I've heard some terrible ideas in my life, but that's the word.
That's
the I saw a nice Philly run the other day that Brett Jones owns part of.
Yeah. And the fairgrounds?
A horse named Limitless.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what a filly. First time out, she went up at like 3-5 or 4-5.
He's got a bunch of partners with that mare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he bought her in the sale, and then they chip off the old block. That's Brary's son, and I'm sure that he sold enough shares in that if I married he's in
now
front.
I bet he had won. All of her. Yeah. I mean, she was really impressive. I mean, she didn't get touched, and she won by, I don't know, 7 or 8. Hmm.
I wonder who she's by.
Breaking from the one home.
I can't remember.
Maybe I'll think of it. Then the beer's coming out on March 31st, Race Day Ale for all friends.
Race Day Ale?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of a good name.
It's a great name. You know, it's interesting. All of a sudden, I'm coming back the other day, and I'm thinking in the car. It's just a terrible place to think. And I think, you know what? They have a horse named Race Day over at Spendthrift, who stands at Spendthrift. So I called my friend Mark Toothaker. I said, Mark, you got Race Day over there? He said, yeah, of course. I go, hey, so he brought over some hats. And so I'm trying to get it so we can do a cross promotion with the hats.
I'm sure it's got Spendthrift on it, too.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Helps everybody. Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, get to drink beer with Mark and people at Spendthrift and get the horse involved. And,
yeah. They don't miss a trick.
And the beer is really good.
Neither is Michael.
You know,
they've met their match.
Then I got a nice call from my friends up at Belterra Park, formerly River Downs, that opening day they're going to present a check to old friends for $5,000 for our barn.
Nice.
So it'll give me an excuse to go up there. Not
absolutely.
That I need one.
Absolutely.
Go up there. Bet some horses.
River Downs.
Bet the people that are training here at the training center and hitch a ride with them up there and
watch
go
that
get the
bridge.
Check and come back.
Watch that bridge. You know, there's no rail on that bridge. A car went off the other day.
That bridge? Is that,
yes,
where that
that's
the bridge?
That's the one. Yeah. You look at it, and it's like there's no rail.
Stay in the middle.
Yep. It's amazing. Anyway.
Yikes. There's another example why we should have a walking day.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't drink any of that ale.
Exactly. Before you go over that bridge.
Yeah.
And then let's see what else is happening. Oh, I know. This is great. So with the Tony Leonard collection, if you haven't seen it, you should get over to the Heedley Whitney Museum and check it out. Tony Leonard exhibit is really, really good. And on then right after the bluegrass, I think from 5 to 7 or 6, is early evening, there's going to be a cocktail party and a fundraiser over there for old friends. We're going to have an auction. And
where?
At the Heedley Whitney Museum for the Tony Leonard collection.
Oh, that's nice.
When is this now?
It's right after the bluegrass.
Okay.
Just drive right over. It's only 5-10 minutes from back into Keeneland. Just right over to Old Frankford Pike.
Well, we'll start plugging that.
I'll make sure you get an invitation. Sometimes they get lost in the mail when they come to you. So we'll make sure this one doesn't. I'll hand deliver it.
So it's by invitation?
Well,
or can anybody come?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll check with the powers that be. It's going to be a lot of fun, though. And Tony, I was going through the list with Bobby and Kate over at Frames on Main and Pierce, and they have a whole bunch of pictures of horses that we had.
Oh, good.
And have.
Now, there was something on Facebook. Somebody bought a picture and took it somewhere wonderful and had it beautifully framed. Do you know what I'm talking about? The horse is walking down the lane and it's fall and the trees are drop dead gorgeous.
Mixed Pleasure. That's John Bradley and Mixed Pleasure. John's one of our volunteers. In fact, he's probably over at the farm now getting ready to do the 10 o'clock tour.
Wow, that was a beautiful picture. And this lady said she's gonna put it up in her living room and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
She's so pleased. It's a beautiful picture.
Well, the other thing is a wonderful picture that Barbara Livingston took of Silver Charm in the snow. She printed up a 200 copies of that picture, and she signed and numbered them all.
Oh, good.
And they're available on eBay. We sell them for $50 and send them out. So
that's nice.
They're going fast. I mean, it's such a beautiful picture.
Everything she takes, she's a genius. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I'd love to get her on the show.
We'll have to get her on.
I think she's ducking you myself.
Maybe she'll be down for the Keeneland meet and we can get her on.
Oh, I'm sure she will.
Yeah, she will be.
Yeah.
The problem is she's always out taking pictures at this time.
Wish you'd come take a picture of me.
Oh, my God. Oh, heaven.
Running in the snow. I sure that would be a big seller. Signed and numbered.
That's a good one. Slip slide,
this is,
maybe.
This is Ursel doing his impersonation of Silver Charm running in the snow.
Right. Ah, that's funny.
Oh, well. I can dream, can't I?
Yeah.
We're going to make up a poster of our Triple Crown horses. So we're making up a poster now. Beth Shannon's doing it for us. We're doing a poster. On one side, it's going to be Silver Charm and Touch Gold. And the other, who, of course, were the Triple Crown in 1997.
Yeah.
And then Saraba and War Emblem. And War Emblem's turned into really his whole matter of behaving has become so much more pleasant.
Well, I noticed that you have done a video or something with him.
Well, a guy came named Bill Rush. He's a really nice guy. He has a web show called Talk of the Track, uh-huh. And he does features. And he came over and did a feature on War Emblem and a couple of the other.
Well, you were reading to him or showing him the picture of himself or something.
I was showing him the picture in the Courier Journal when it was a huge picture, covered the whole sports section the day after he won the Derby.
Oh, okay.
Extra, read all about it. You know, he'd never seen it before, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, right. I always show all my horse pictures to the horses. Okay.
So we got a picture of him looking at the front of the Louisville Courier Journal.
Yes, I saw that. That was on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That was cute.
Well, let me say something about Mizzen Mass.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, one of my favorite horses. Mm-hmm. He's on a roll. You know, he sired 4 stakes winners already this year. Maybe I should say he's on another roll. You remember when he sired 2 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup winners the same year? And Flotilla won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Phillies Turf and Ms. Direction the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Then the next year, Flotilla won the classic French 1,000 guineas and Ms. Direction came back and won the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint for the second year in a row. Both fillies earned over $1 million. Ms. and Maz 4 2016 stakes winners, including another millionaire. That's Sea Defense, whose recent stakes win came in the Group 1 Stewards' Cup. He's a Mizzen Mass. In fact, he is Mizzen Mass 8th Grade 1 or Group 1 winner. Paulina's Love has won the Grade 2 Buena Vista Stakes at Santa Anita this year. She's earned right at $305,000. Stone-tastic, she goes into stakes, graded stakes at Gulfstream today. She has already won the Miami Shore Stakes at Gulfstream this year. And earlier in her career, she won the Grade 2 Prior Stakes, and she's earned over $512,000. And his 4th 2016 stakes winner is a highly promising colt, One Mean Man. He won the stakes down at the fairgrounds. Year after year, Ms. Mass assigned superior stakes winners. To put one in your racing stable, breed a mare to him for $12,500 at Judmont Farm, or buy one at one of the major sales. For more information, call Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at 859-272-7629. Take a look at the website, judmont.com.
Everyone in the horse business knows about Sally Van Service. They've been in the horse business for more than 6 decades. Number of breeding trips made runs into the millions, and many of the finest thoroughbreds in the world have enjoyed a safe trip on a Sally Van. But did you know they can also service your diesel at Sally Vans, or for that matter, take care of your trailer also? Give them a call, 255-9406. They're conveniently located in Lexington, and I'm having my trailer whatever you called it. They pack the wheels and all that stuff. They're conveniently located in Lexington. As I said, it's a short trip over there, and when it comes to moving your horse, you can depend that a Sally Van's in tip-top shape and that the person behind the wheel is an experienced driver, an experienced horseman. And that's why for over 60 years, a Sally Van has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Revolutionary Broke is maiden as a 2-year-old in New York by 8.5 lengths, posting a 102 buyer. Now, that was the best buyer of the year for a 2-year-old colt. That served notice that he was something special. And he was. He won the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby. He won the Grade 3 Withers. He won the Grade 3 Pimlico Special. He was second in the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap and third in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby after a nightmare trip. Earned over $1,353,000. Now, Revolutionary is by Warpass. Warpass won the Eclipse Award as a champion 2-year-old. He sired but 2 crops of foals before his untimely death, but from those 2 crops have come 18 stakes horses, 12 of them graded stakes horses. A remarkable record. Revolutionary's Dam is Run Up the Colors by A.P. Indy. Run Up the Colors won the classic Grade 1 Alabama. She also won the Delaware Oaks, ran second in the Grade 1 Spinster and the Grade 1 Ballerina, and she earned over 555,000. There are 22 stakes winners, two champions on the Revolutionary's first two dams. It's a great pedigree. Bred to 146 mares in his first season at stud last year. He stands for $7,500. Don't have to pay it to the foal stands and nurses. He's over at Windstar Farm. Call Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugel, or Caroline Walsh at 859-873-1717. See the website, windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
I can't believe Michael sprung for a racing form.
That's what I said.
I have to spring for them all the time now since I can't steal them over here. $10. $10 off track.
$10?
Yeah. Set you back a little something before you even start.
I know. And there's 30, 31 days in a month.
They just want you to get it online. And I'm old.
Oh, right. Yeah, you can't get it online. What's the cost online?
I don't know. Huh? I don't get it online. I don't know. I just like the old thing. I got some great stuff over at that Keeneland book sale. The Keeneland Library book
sale.
Yeah,
Ursel did too.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, I got a couple of the older American racehorses. I think it was 36 and 37. But that's the only ones they had available over there. What else did I get, Jackie? Of course, you gave me the one that somebody had cut Citation and Gallerette out of. It was 48.
Right. Yeah.
Can you believe that? I saw the people over there at Becky over at the sale, you know, and I told her about that. And she said, you know, I bought that here. Can I get my money back? And she said, no.
You know
so
they had a raffle. They were raffling off that beautiful frame print of one of Katy Barrett's photographs. And if you haven't seen the Katy Barrett photographs over at the Keene Library, you ought to go take a look at them. She's the Barbara Livingston of the West Coast.
Ah.
And they're very good friends. But anyway, Katy's a marvelous photographer. So they had a raffle to raise money for old friends. So it was, I think, $5 a ticket or 3 for $10. So I bought 3 tickets. I thought it would be really cool if I get to win this, you know. So I didn't. But the next day I get a call from Kathy Riccio, who's been helping us forever. And she works for Luberson.
Yeah.
And Kathy called me. She goes, I won the print.
Oh,
she goes, I won the Katy Barrett print. I'm donated to old friends.
Oh,
she's a sweetheart. Isn't she?
Yeah, she's really nice.
Yeah, nice girl.
Yeah. She goes, I never won anything in my life. Here you go. She won it. Now she's going to donate to us. It's really, really nice.
You know, they always give three or four things away at the Farm Managers Club, you know, how they do.
Yeah.
But usually it's whiskey and stuff like that. You know, I've been going to.
Macaulay's gives stuff.
Yeah. I've been going to that thing, Farm Managers Club, now since back in the 60s.
Back when they put the raffle tickets out on parchment.
That was a stone.
Right.
Parchment wasn't around. Anyway, I've won it once during all those years, which I was pretty good, but you know, it was a $100 gift certificate.
Oh, wow. Good.
To
you
the
can
restaurant.
Make that less for a year and a half.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, to the restaurant of my choice, you know, see.
Very nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I won one once. I'm not at the farm manager. I don't know if it's still around. There used to be a woman's farm workers club, like the office staff club. There are a bunch of people in it, and it was called Thoroughbreds. I'm not sure if they have that anymore, but that was when women weren't on the backstretch. Forget it. Women worked on the farms, but not in the barns. So I won a baseball cap. I've never forgotten it. Never. I'll tell you what, Maggie Glass from Calumet used to come all the time, very dressed up in her gown that was a copy of Calumet Silks.
Wow.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
And they used to have, what you call it? Who played the, his pictures are out there, played his accordion.
Oh, Tony Leonard.
Tony Leonard played the accordion. Did you not
know? No, I knew he did. No,
he sang.
He sang.
He sang, and somebody played the accordion.
What was that little guy that used to play down at the Campbell House? What was his name?
I've forgotten. Anyway, Tony Leonard would sing that kind of Vegas saloon yeah. kind of stuff.
I haven't heard a good accordion rendition of Lady in Spain in so long.
I know, like you're just
I'm
sad.
I'm going through withdrawal.
Hey, I'll tell you what, though. You can watch Lawrence Welk on every Saturday night.
That's true.
If you have withdrawal.
Wow. Yeah. It's not that
and
serious.
Then there were the Harmonic Cats. They were great.
I used
well,
to,
they did Lady of Spain.
They did Peg of My Heart was my favorite.
Good.
We made up dirty limericks to that. Well, never mind.
Never
we
mind, wrong. Please. That's terrible.
Well, you can imagine what that...
Never mind. What's coming up, Michael? Take it away.
Well, we got a lot of really great things coming up. We're... Oh, here's something to announce that's really going to be interesting. The Saturday before the Derby, I think it's May 1st,
uh-huh.
at the Derby Museum,
uh-huh.
they're going to do a great thing. It's for fans. It's for racing fans, and they're going to do a tribute to American Pharoah, and it's open to everybody. I don't know what the tickets are. They're not that expensive, but Bob Baffert's going to be there and everybody, and they're
nice.
Just going to do a whole celebration of racing. They've got a new kind of team over there with my friend Eric who's helping in the marketing department and doing some things, and we've had some meetings, and he's really, really creative, and he's got some great ideas, and this was they're going to put this on. They're going to really, really open up the Kentucky
what time's
Derby
it open?
Museum. I'm not sure. I'll get all the details.
Yeah, because that's kind of a fun thing.
Oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to go. It's going to be a lot of fun.
When you go, there is a big mural up on the wall
yes.
of a rider on a horse, and it's huge. And it's Brian Van Steenburgh, and I think he's on Albert the Great or something. I'll have to find out
nice.
What horse that is. Yeah. He's also in the airport out here. It's kind
Brian
of a silhouette. Yeah, but it's a real good picture.
Of course, he's best known for galloping horses for us back when.
Oh, yeah, there. Right. Yeah. Well, he didn't have to go too fast. It was very safe. Very safe.
He could pose a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably rode more of the greatest horses of all time than Bill Shoemaker, Brian. When
what?
You think about all the horses that he rode over at Three Chimneys,
yeah, exactly.
And Silver mm-hmm. Charm,
yeah,
and
right.
you go down the list, Big Brown, I mean,
yeah.
down the list. I mean,
he went down the list. He really
yeah.
did. Yeah, he's good.
He thought that Big Brown was a wonderful mover. I remember he told me that.
Yeah, he talked about Big Brown.
He's in New York now, I think.
Brian? No, he's
no,
in
Big
Midway.
Brown. I know where Brian is.
The salon.
I see him sweeping the walkway in front of the salon.
Yeah, exactly. He yeah. gives great massages. I mean, he's
yeah.
super out of this world.
Yeah. If I get to hurt and I go over there and he knocks out a kink or two for me.
Nice, nice.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Well, we're open for tourists and the weather's nice and we've been back to our three tours a day.
Saw that. 11.
10, 1, and 3.
Oh, 10, 1, and 3.
And so we invite everybody to come over and see War Emblem and see Silver Charm. And
Alphabet Soup.
And Alphabet Soup, who's the kindest, sweetest horse you'll ever be around.
Yeah.
You need to take some of your brochures over to the Thoroughbreds and over.
Okay.
Because they don't have them.
All right. I will. I'll bring some next week.
And the tours are going to start rolling in here pretty soon, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, with Keeneland opening, it will.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Good. Oh, here comes Matt Howard.
Oh, Matt.
Oh, good. Matt's now the general manager. Big
Valkyrie
deal.
Stud. Yeah,
Valkyrie
general manager
Stud.
Valkyrie Stud. Yeah.
He's dressing better.
He right after he got this job,
yeah.
they were out the house. And he said they had their first foal. And
right.
I said, oh, nice. Who are you breeding back to? He said, American Pharoah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Here he is. Here, no, have my seat. I got to go do a tour anyway.
You okay. got to do a tour. I know when if I stop out of there, you're not going to be there.
I'm always there when you bring us hay.
There you go.
How about you interns this year?
I know. They were great, too. Yeah. Australian.
Oh, good. That's it.
Sit down, Matt.
All the help you can get.
This is Matt Howard, who is, I want to ask you a little bit about a mutual friend of ours that was killed
yeah.
over in
Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Palestinian got him.
Yeah. He was a young man
Texas.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
That went down on the tour and with Vanderbilt, too, was a really And Matt went to the head of, well, tell me about
it. Well, we went down, you know, to Taylor Force. Well,
give it, yeah, Taylor Force.
Grew up in Texas. He was the farm that I'd managed for 10 years, his grandfather. And so I knew Taylor. Taylor actually lived on the farm for, gosh, it was a year and a half before he went to Vanderbilt after he got out of the military. He graduated from West Point, did Afghanistan, Iraqi tours, and then decided he was going to go to grad school, but he took a year off and lived on the farm with us. And
went to farm managers all the time. What a nice
farm managers. He was a great kid, and he decided to go to Vanderbilt to go into business. And he was over on a school business trip for over the spring break for Global Economy. And happened to be him and a couple others were walking just down the Tel Aviv boardwalk to go meet up with everybody else for dinner. And that's when the terrorist from the Palestinian terrorist stabbed him to death.
Mm-hmm.
And he wounded 11 others before he was killed himself by the police. But Taylor, he's such a good kid, you know. And they did a memorial service for him down in Lubbock on Monday, and it was packed. And then down at Vanderbilt yesterday, it was packed.
Yeah, you drove down.
Yeah, I drove down there yesterday for it, and you just see how many lives he actually touched.
Yeah.
Everyone there had a story, probably. And, you know, we had plenty of stories about him, but he was in the prime of his life, 28 years old.
Yeah.
I know. It's just, you know what's sad about that? The Israelis live with that every day.
Yeah.
Multiple attacks every day. That's enough. They're going to get to the point where they quit, and then somebody's going to.
And, you know, that's a good thing. You know, they had some from the Israeli government. People were down in Lubbock for the morning. They flew all the way over for that. Vanderbilt has now set up a scholarship fund for anyone graduating from any of the military academy schools, West Point.
Nice.
I don't know. The Air Force and then the one for the Navy is
Annapolis. Yeah.
And if they attend Vanderbilt School of Business, there is a scholarship.
Nice.
Named after Taylor now.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That's nice. Yeah, he said he liked Vanderbilt because they treated vets very well.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was a sad thing. I couldn't believe it when
I know.
Me, you know. We didn't know him very well. We just would sit at the table because he'd come with Matt.
Yeah, he was just a sweetheart.
And we're inflicted with Matt whenever we go.
or Matt's inflicted with us.
Yeah, one or the other.
Look at it.
But anyway, it was a sad thing. Well, let me do this one. We'll get back on. I'll ask you a couple of questions. Last Saturday at Turfway, the ninth race, a maiden special for 3-year-old fillies, was won by Altarita, another runner from the first crop by Albertus Maximus. Altarita bested the field of 10 by a comfortable 2 3/4 lengths. Bred by Ponder Hill Farm and racing for the Preston Stable, she is a $90,000 graduate of the September sales at Keeneland. She won the 6.5 furlong event, a style suggesting that she's going to love two turns. Albertus Maximus has sired a group stakes winner abroad and a stakes winner in the USA in his first crop, 2-year-olds last year. Winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, 133-2. Winner also of the Grade 1 Don Handicap, and of over $1,328,000, he stands free to approved mares at Shadwell Farm, home also of De Hare and Interdab, proven sires of graded stakes winners. Give Stallion Manager Kent Barnes a call, 859-224-4585, and be sure to ask about breeding incentives and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Quillen Leather and Tack, famous, well-known, fabulous leather and tack shop. They do the best. They do ship out over 17,000 halters a year from their shop because they use the best leather. You know, I was a pony club mommy for so long. And you learn a lot when you go to those things. They used to have leather questions. They, kids have to learn things, and they'd quiz them, and they'd line up 6 or 8 pieces of leather finished different ways, and you had to grab the best, the next best, and then and so on. Well, Quillen's leather's always the best. Just is. You know, learn to recognize it. It's good.
Been holding my pants up for years.
No small feet. Anyway,
I asked for that one, didn't I?
It's foaling season. They've got all kind of foal halters. They got figure eights and just regular kinds. And they have mare neck straps. You turn the mares out with a nameplate on her halter and a nameplate on her neck strap. In case some of these ship ends that look alike lose their halter, you've still got ID. Of course, they have everything else. They have muzzles. If you have a foal that needs a muzzle for some reason or another, they've got those. For foals, they've got stall plates and name plates and you name it. And don't forget Rooster Brew. Rooster Brew is open this evening. They've got Singer and entertainment and lots of beer. 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
There you go.
So that's Rooster Brew. It's downtown Paris. And to check, so, well, Quillen's on Main Street, but it's on sort of the part down near the high school. So go online, quillen.com. That's Quillin.com.
Well, destined a 3-0 Colt by Giants Causeway, won the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby last Saturday, stamped himself as the leading contender for the 2016 Classic. He won the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis Stakes in his previous start, and he set a new track record in the Tampa Bay Derby, getting a mile and a 16th, 1:42.4. To win by length over his stablemate, Outwork. Destin is a $400,000 graduate of the Keeneland September sales, bred by James Wiesel and TaylorMade Stallions. The aforementioned Outwork has been an impressive winner in his first two starts, and the Tampa Bay Derby was his first start in stakes and his first around 2 days. He's one of 21 stakes horses from the first crop by champion juvenile sire Uncle Mo, a list that contains 10 stakes winners, including Eclipse Award winner Nyquist, one of four by Uncle Mo, among the favorites on the Kentucky Derby Future Wages Pool. An Abiding Star, winner last Saturday of the private term stakes at law. Champion Cyrus Giants Causeway and Uncle Mo, both standard Ashford Stud, where standing champion Cyrus is a tradition. For more on the stallions at Ashford Stud, call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website coolmore.com.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
All righty. Well, Matt Howard has joined me over in, when is Kathy going to come on the show over here? I mean, I need to get over
here. You know, when we get a phone call for an invite, I guarantee you we can probably get her over.
Okay.
Consider this a phone call and an invite and an invitation and begging and pleading. How's that?
Well,
does that do it?
I need to get yourself out to the farm.
Pardon?
I need to get you out to the farm.
Love to.
Yeah.
Love to. It turns warm again. I want a tour. Tell me about that farm. Big farm.
It is, and I love it out there. We've actually got split up into two farms, but they're right around the corner from each other. Right off of Long Lick Pike in Georgetown. And really, we're closer to Stamping Ground. And on the main farm is where we have our mares at, and then just right around the corner is our yearling farm. We had 30 to foal out. We had 10 on the ground up until last night, and we had two more hit the ground last night.
Oh, good.
And of course, now we got the yearlings that, you know, they're coming around and getting ready to be sale prepped. Got a great staff, and working with Kathy Park is amazing. I enjoy it.
You prep your own yearlings?
Yes. We do our own sales.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, but enjoyable. But
she's been very successful, Kathy.
She's been very successful. Yeah. You know, Algorithms came off that farm. Justin Phillips came off that farm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Crystal and I had went over to the Irish thing at Castleton Lines the other day for their big St. Paddy celebration. And, of course, Justin Phillips stands there and Gio Ponte. And, well, we have ties to both of them now because Justin Phillips, of course, was born and raised on our farm. And Gio Ponte, I just had a little colt by him 2 weeks ago. So,
ah.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I was kind of waiting until we moved back over to the clocker stand.
Whenever you want. And, you know, we're still in the mix of foaling and breeding shed runs.
How many more foals you got to go?
I got 12 on the ground. I got 18 more to go.
Ha.
Wow.
So, and probably have another one tonight.
Yeah.
So.
Is it the moon changing?
I have no idea.
I think the barometer pressure, barometric pressure,
yeah, because rain's moving in.
The cool came in. And, you know, the first one folded at 8 o'clock yesterday. I was just leaving. I'd just gotten into Kentucky, probably right about the Kentucky Downs, turn off exit 2 when my wife called me because the intern was at our house and the farm manager, Paul, was trying to get her over there. And so she was there. And then the second one, I was just pulling onto the farm from the trip, and the baby had just hit the ground. Mom had just gotten up, and I'm standing there in my suit and tie. So, I didn't get in and help clean that one up. So
that's funny.
I'd love to have seen him in a suit and tie.
Yeah,
I didn't think he wore anything but blue jeans.
Where'd you rent it?
Yeah.
But, well, that's great. Have you had more fillies or colts?
More fillies. Both of them born last night were both fillies.
Huh. Who are you going back to with those? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, gosh, I don't know. We're going all over the place. You know, we've done American Pharaoh. We're doing Giant's Causeway. We've done Algorithms. That's another one that came off the farm. We're going there. I've been to Darley. I've been to Three Chimneys. I've been to Airdrie.
Yeah.
Well, I have. Luckily, I have my farm manager loves doing shed runs.
That's
I hate doing shed runs. So when I started,
a lot of standing around.
And Paul said, I said, Paul, you can do every shed run you want, man. And the only time I do them, I've got one I got to do tomorrow. I got to go to Claiborne to Algorithms tomorrow because Paul and I had switched days off because I had to go down to the service. So I'm going to go ahead and work tomorrow. And sure enough, I got a breeding shed run.
Yeah, so, good for you. How many yearlings you got?
I've got 10 colts. 12 fillies.
They'll sell at Keeneland?
I believe so. There are some of the clients.
But that's where you're aiming.
Yeah.
Keeneland Paul.
Yeah.
Boy, those yearling colts can be a pain.
Yeah, well, I'd rather fool with them than the fillies.
I don't know.
I don't know.
They get bossy.
Colts bite, fillies kick. Yeah, I'd rather get bit.
I'd rather not either.
We've got a nice stock of yearlings. You know, we hope to have some book ones, and you know, we have one that I didn't have the pleasure of getting to really be around. It was 3 years ago, but he is on the Derby Dozen, a Greenpoint Crusader.
Okay.
Is that a Giant's Causeway?
It's a God. I think so. Sure. I know it's out of Avenos the Code.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, last Saturday at the fairgrounds, Strawberry Baby, a filly from the first crop by Warrior's Reward, won the Big Easy Stakes, posting her second stakes win and fifth win from 9 career starts. Now, Strawberry Road was bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. She is one of 15 stakes horses from the first two crops by Warrior's Reward, a leading first and second crop sire. Strawberry Baby's latest stakes win came at the fairgrounds, with others by Warrior's Reward earning black type at Saratoga, Belmont, Aqueduct, Keeneland, Churchill Downs, Woodbine, Gulfstream, Del Mar, Laurel, at the races, and 6 have earned black type and graded stakes. Warrior's Reward is sighing runners, and that's why in 2015 his yearling sold for up to $205,000, and his 2-year-olds for up to $310,000. A grade 1 winner by Medalli d'Oro. Warrior's Reward stands for $10,000. Due when the foal stands and nurses, and he's eligible for Spendthrift's popular breed secure program. Just call Des, Dempsey, Brian, Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Want to talk to you about a couple of products that I happen to believe in, Lubricin and Reborn, both of them developed by one of the nation's leading veterinarians, Dr. Steve Alday. Big support of old friends, by the way. And those products are endorsed by many owners and breeders and trainers and veterinarians and nobodies like me. Anyway, both, incidentally, they're all natural. They're test-free. You don't have to worry about spit box. Lubricin helps sustain the integrity of joint fluid. And, you know, it can reduce the need for, you know, acid ingestions and things like that. Injections, as you say. Some of the trainers that use it on a regular basis, including Todd Pletcher, and, of course, how many awards has he won now? Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hall and Doffer, Mike Maker. That's just to mention a few of them. And they also have it for humans. I use it, and it helps old carters like me. Tastes very good, too. Like I said, now you can buy that at Old Friends or KBC in Lexington or at Horse Sense down in Versailles. And to learn more about Lubricin, go to the website, which is lubricin.com. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about Reborn. It's 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum.
safe, it's easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, but a great idea to start your foals with it because it strengthens the foal's immune system immensely while he's nursing on the mare, and because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. Actually, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages, and a lot of trainers use it for that too. So here's how you get reborn. Go to reborne.com. Once again, you can buy it at Old Friends at the KBC in Lexington and at Horse Sense in Versailles. Excellent products. Well, First Crop Weanlings by Alternation sold for over six times the stud fee at Keeneland last November, including colts that went for $125,000 and $110,000. As expected, he's signed grand individual. Stands for $7,500, doing the full stands and nurses. And here's a fun bonus. 10% of the winner's purse will be paid to the breeder of any two-year-old maiden special winner from his first three crops. So if you sell or you race, that's still going to be running for you. And Alternation has all the prerequisites to become a top sire. He's a multiple graded stakes winner of over $1 million. He's one of more than 125 stakes winners by a champion sire, Distorted Humor. His dam, by a champion sire, Seattle Sleuth, was quite a runner herself. She won a place in 10 stakes, 5 graded, and earned over $550,000. And his female family has already given us a highly successful sire in Broken Vow. Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Broken Vow, Cowboy, and Cowboy Cal. Inquiries with Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420, and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursa Lele.
All right, well, let me take care of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association's list of breeders of Kentucky bred stakes winners last week. Chauncey Morris is a sponsor of the KTA, of course, and out at Santa Anita, the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap winner, Melatonin, that's a Kodiak Cowboy, bred by S.D. Brilley Jr., $1 million pot. Let's see, the San Carlos Stakes Grade 2 at Santa Anita went to Kobe's Back. That's a colt by Flatter, a horse by Flatter. He's a five-year-old, bred by Joanne Murmert. He's been a really nice horse, big. I think he bought 400 and some odd thousand or something at a two-year-old sale. That Grade 2 San Felipe at Santa Anita, a three-year-old colt by Twirling Candy named Dancing Candy, bred by Halo Farms. The Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby winner is Destin. Destin is Giant's Causeway, just the latest in the long list of runners sired by that horse. He stands over at Ashford Stud. This one bred by James Weagle and a Tailor-Made Stallion. The Grade 2 Hillsborough Stakes winner, Teppin. She's one of many stakes. I can't keep up with her. She's a Bernstein bred by Mockmer Hall. The Grade 3 Home Honeybee Stakes, Terra Promisa won that. That's a Curlin bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. The Grade 3 Tom Fool Handicap at Aqueduct, Saludos Amigos, a six-year-old son of Salute the Sarge, bred by Joan Hadley Thoroughbreds. The John Battaglia Memorial down at Turfway Park went to Surgical Strike by Red Giant, bred by Ed Seltzer and Beverly Anderson. And, of course, that's the last race called until next year's running of the John Battaglia by Mike Battaglia. Is he retired from the microphone calling races, but he's going to come back every year and broadcast the Battaglia Memorial, which is named after his father. The Big Easy Stakes at the Fairgrounds winner was Strawberry Baby by Warriors Reward. Stands right over here at Spendthrift Farm and was bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. Let's see, the Challenger Stakes at Tampa Bay, Adirondack King by Laurie Ron, bred by Stonewall Farm Stallions. The Pasadena Stakes at Santa Anita, Dressed in Hermes by Hat Trick, bred by the Budget Stables. That's what we should have called our place, Beth and Jackie.
What?
Budget Stable Farm or something. Anyway.
Over budget.
Over budget. Caesar's Wish Stakes as Law went to Sophia's Song by Bellamy Road. Bellamy Road up in New York now. He should do well, but he's sired a lot of runners. It's a nice filly. They're bred by Lemons Mill Farm and Foxtail Farm. The Borgata Stakes at Delta Downs went to Great Minds. That's a son of Stroll, bred by Claiborne Farm. And, of course, Stroll stands at Claiborne Farm. yesterday at the fairgrounds, the stakes race there, it was the Esplanade Stakes, and the winner was Saving His Account by Medaglia d'Oro, read by Del Ridge Farm. Should have added this on to the list of stakes winners, but I'll put it on next week. That was raised on Macaulay products. That's because right. this winner was. And the Amboratum Stakes, Amboratum 2, went to Miss Double de Oro by Medaglia d'Oro, bred by Bluegrass Hall. All right, well, Macho Uno has sired 6 Grade 1 winners. He sired a winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic and Mucho Macho Man. In fact, Mucho Macho Man came within the neck of winning the Breeders' Cup Classic 2 years in a row, and he earned over $5,625,000. Macho Uno was the sire of 15 stakes winners in 5 countries in 2015, including 2 of the fastest sprinters in the world. Private Zone, he's earned right at $3 million now, and Danon Legend, he's won over $2 million. And that's why there's a demand for the progeny of Macho Uno. Last year, Macho Uno sales yearlings went for $185,000, two went for $160,000. His two-year-old sold for up to $370,000. Mares and Folders cover for up to $250,000. Macho Uno's stud fee, $15,000, payable when the foal stands and nurses. A lot of horse for the money. Winner of the Eclipse War is a champion two-year-old. Macho Uno stands at Edina Springs, Kentucky. Inquiries to Cormac Breathnock or Jack Brothers at 859-987-1798. And take a look at the website at AdinaStallions.com.
Radio Viz, Fox Sports 1580 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. WWTF Georgetown, Lexington.
Well, Creative Cause was a brilliant two-year-old, never out of the money. He won the Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes. He won the Grade 2 Best Pal. Ran second in the Grade 1 Del Mar Fortuity. Third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Came back at 3, and he won the Grade 2 San Felipe. Finished a head-bobbing second in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. And a game third in both the Classic Grade 1 Preakness Stakes and the Grade 2 San Vicente. At career's end, he'd been in the money in 9 of his 10 starts and earned over $1 million. And he has a unique distinction of having defeated every horse he ever met. Never saw a horse he couldn't beat. Creative Cause was an exceptional two-year-old. Now his first foals are two-year-olds. What's more, he's by John's Causeway. In addition to topping the sire list 3 times, has led the two-year-old sire list 2 times. And don't forget that Creative Cause's dam also won Grade 1 stakes and earned over $1 million. Creative Cause. $15,000 live foal of Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website, airdriestud.com. And keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key racing profit.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursel Ellis.
All righty. Well, we're starting the second hour of the training center. Man, what are you doing, Jackie?
I'm going to try to get a picture of how this is hooked up so I can be of more help to Resi.
Well, it'd help if he'd get here a little bit earlier.
Time to hush, Ressie.
I mean, it's a photo finish between coming on the air and Ressie arriving.
It's not.
One of these days you're going to lose one of those photos, Ressie.
No. Got to deliver on time.
Right. Yeah. Ressie drives an upstroke. He knows how to get somewhere.
Well, yeah, well. Okay.
150 stops.
You want 150
stops on time, exactly.
You want to do some announcements now? I'm
sure.
Kind of waiting for Mike Evans to show up.
Sure. I'll be glad to. You got his phone number?
Why, of course not.
Oh, yeah. Why would you?
He's out here somewhere, though.
Okay.
Hey, but you know how it is with these trainers and horsemen. Yeah. Sometimes there's a mare foaling. Sometimes there's a horse hurting or sick or something like
Michael
that.
Michael left us at Belmont Park.
Oh, coffee cup.
So I guess we'll
Loser's Weepers.
Yeah. You want one?
Yeah, there was a nice horse named Loser Weeper. You know, where's yes. Alfred Vanderbilt?
Oh, okay. He was good at names.
Loser Weeper. Yeah.
Pansy.
He was by.
Remember Pansy, by somebody out of Social Climber. What was that?
No. I'm trying to think of one. You gave me the dam. The dam was Pansy.
Oh.
By Shutout.
And, oh, okay. And Social Climber was, maybe that was the name of the horse. I don't know. I can't remember.
Normally I forgot to take my
Prevagen.
I ran out of my Prevagen for the last 3 weeks.
Okay, we are out here at the Thoroughbred Center. Now it's getting nice and warm, and the guided tours start Monday through Saturday at 9 o'clock. April Fool's Day, they start. April 1st, that's on a Friday.
Social Outcast.
Social Outcast, absolutely. Anyway, it's $15 adults, $8 a child, and it's $10 a person if you have a nice big fat group. So they really do give good tours. They go over to the clocker stand and they stand at the rail, and it's 9 o'clock, so they always seem to get the second wave of workers coming. So that works out real well. So you can, and then they drive up here to the barns and they get a speech by Mike Cameron, who's over here. He does the tours, and it's a good tour. It's a lot of fun. So bring your friends in who come in from out of town for the races or whatever. We're out here on Paris Pike, and the phone number is 293-1853. Okay. Dropped his whip.
Excuse me.
This weekend, Ursel just knocked his mic off the stand, so that's okay. Road to the Horse, out at the horse park today through tomorrow. Hippity Hoppity Hunt is going on today. It's going on right now. It's a, I guess it's a an egg hunt for campers only. Now, this is fun. March 26th, next Saturday, is the Paul Fraser Memorial Combined Test and Dressage Association. It's at the Dressage Complex, and it means spring is here. Always, Paul Fraser, and you know it's spring is on hand. If you want more information, you always call the horse park, but I have a special number here, 231-7066, or call CKRH, Central Kentucky Riding for the Handicap.org. That's online, of course. The 17th annual, now I don't know what this is, but it's Thursday, March 31st. Anybody heard of the ELGALA, EGALA conference? Any idea what that is? I have no idea, but it's coming on March 31st to the horse park. April 9th on a Saturday through April 10th on Sunday in the Rolex Stadium is the United States Mounted Games Association. That's a big one. Spring Bay Horse Trials, Saturday, April 9th through Sunday, April 10th at the Hunter Jumper Complex. That's a good one, 621-2479. They're having a cowboy up for the Cure Rodeo, which will be in the Alltech Arena Saturday, April 9th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Isn't that interesting? Cowboys ride better at night, I reckon. Is that true? I don't know.
A cowboy, I can vouch either one way or the
exactly.
other.
Exactly. The Rolex is coming up April 28th through Sunday, May the 1st. Rolex, Rolex, Rolex. It's a three-day event. It's a big deal. It's a four-day, three-day event because cross-country goes Thursday and Friday. Saturday is dressage and Sunday is stadium. And it's all over the park. So if you want a ticket, you want to find out about where to park and all that kind of stuff, they usually park in different places and you can shuttle to the main part where they're doing stuff. The cross country is fun because you can get out and walk the course and watch the horses close up and personal. Now, this is great. Cross country schooling. This is any schmuck like myself can go out to the horse park and ride your horse around the horse park. You can go anywhere. You can go on a cross country course. You can go. Oh, it's just great. Mostly it's a cross-country course. They only do this three or four times a year. So this is Sunday and Monday. Ooh, 2 days in a row. They lost a day or two last year for weather. It was real bad. So call somebody. Call khpfoundation.org. That's the Kentucky Horse Park Foundation. I think it's like $35. You ride either a morning, 9 to noon, or noon till 3 or 1 to 4, something like that. But, of course, you have to have a Coggins and all that. And I think it's $35, but I forget. I can't remember unless they've raised it. And, of course, High Hope Steeplechase comes up. That's a big one. That's so much fun. It's a big picnic with horse races and all kind of stuff. It's Saturday, Sunday, May 17th. It's always the day after the Preakness, so it's just so much fun. They've got so much going on this year. Gates open at 11. Terrier races start. They're a riot. Got shopping and activities. 12 o'clock is the Bluegrass Farm Challenge Pony Races. Farms sponsor kids on ponies, and they're going to race. Nothing cuter than a bunch of little Shetlands. It's like a Thelwell drawing. It's so cute. 1:15 mounted flag, mounted police flag presentation and national anthem. 1:30 is the first race. 2:15 is race number two. It's allowance optional. These are hurdles. And then 3 o'clock is a maiden hurdle. Then the parade of the Woodford Hounds. Might be the parade of the long run hounds this year. I think the Woodford Hounds have gone to California to see what they do. Might have Iroquois hounds. Don't know. 3:45, it's a timber race. It's a, that's where they run over those really solid looking things called J. Trump. J. Trump won the Grand National. Stick horse races, and they're going to have the first running of the ladies' side saddle races. That should be a hoot. I think that's fun. And then they have race 5, post 4:30, the Arabian Flat Race. The Her Highness Sheikha Fatima Bint Mubarak is the Apprentice World Championship. And then at 5:15, sixth race is NARA, the riding Chris McCarron's jockey school over here, Catch a Riding Star Apprentice Jockey Challenge. And what a day. What a cool day. It's so good. Oh, out here, before I forget, at the Thoroughbred Center, it's time to fix those fences. You know, that was kind of a tough winter. Everything was so wet. They have treated wood, and they have fence materials, all the posts and planks of any size that you need. It's very good. So that's it.
Yeah, I just called the training center on that.
293-1853.
Right. Well, last Saturday at Santa Anita, the Grade 2 $300,000 San Carlos Stakes was won by Kobe's Back, 5-year-old horse by Flatter. Kobe's Back, winner of the Grade 2 Palos Verdes Stakes on February 7th, sprinted 7 furlongs, won 22-1 to win the San Carlos, boosting his earnings over $952,000. He's won 5 stakes now. Came within a neck of winning Grade 1 stakes. That was in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. Flatter is also the sire of the 2016 Greatest Stakes winner, Terrace, a winner of the Grade 2 La Canada Stakes at Santa Anita to more than $807,000. She goes in a Grade 1 today. Kobe's Back was bred by Joanne Mummert, and he's a $480,000 graduate of the OBS sale. Terrace, winner of 5 stakes, 4 graded, placed in 2 grade 1, was sold as a 3-year-old for $2,350,000 at the Phasey Tipton November sale. She was bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dillsnyder. Flatter was a sire of 10 2015 stakes winners. He's by AP Indy, and he stands for $30,000. Doing the full stands and nurses. Stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252. And see the website at claibornefarm.com. Want to talk about my good friends Hill and Reagan Parker. They've been in the real estate business, oh, for about 13, 14 years now. Been in the horse business all their lives. I know Hill still trains a horse or two every now and then. I think he can't keep away from it. Top horseman, and those are real horse people, and they're helping real horse people. If you're trying to sell your farm, as you couldn't list them with anybody that would work harder for you than Hill and Reagan Parker.
And if you're looking for a farm, well, they've got great listings right now, outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices in Fayette and Bourbon and Jesmond and Woodford, Scott, Clark County. That's just scratching the surface. There's got a nice one owner custom home over right now on Clintonville Road in Bourbon County. Very convenient location there. It's located on 19 and a half acres. Three bedrooms, two baths, including a private master suite. There's also room for additional bedrooms and a bath on the second floor. And they got a detached workshop. And it's fully insulated, incidentally. You can use it as an office and make a nice little horse farm there for you. Also, they got 270 acres over on a Clay Kaiser. Now, this one's a little more expensive. Priced at $12 million. And 570 Clay Kaiser, right, is almost a neighbor of ours, right directly across from John Ward's beautiful farm there. And this is a gorgeous place.
Oh,
Beautiful home, beautiful farms, great fencing. I mean, boy, I tell you, could.
Well, it's the road is just full of beautiful farms.
Yeah, Clay Kaiser, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a great place to live. But I tell you what you need to do is go to their website. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. It's LexHorseFarms.com, LexHorseFarms.com at 859-608-8039. Well, the first foals by Country Day are two-year-olds, and they're getting rave reports about them. They're just rolling in. Reports from the likes of Charlie Lopresti, trainer of Horse of the Year Wise Dan, or Keith DeSormo. Of course, he trained Texas Red. He bought a filly at auction. He loves her. Now a two-year-old, from April Mayberry, who broke the likes of Zenyatta, Travis Durr from the Webb Training, Carroll Training Center, and where the likes of Run Happy and Harvard de Gras first got their first lessons. Fred Mitchell, a good friend of mine, over at Clarkland Farm and the breeder of Beholder and a host of other horses, been telling everybody about Country Day since as long as I remember, someday soon he's going to be able to say, I told you so. Country Day is by the terrific sire Spitestown, out of a graded stakes winner, Hidden Assets. She's a dam of five stakes winners, four of which earned black type and graded stakes. Country Day won a place in eight stakes, including the grade two, now grade one, of course, Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and he earned over $500,000. Better book now, $3,500, doing a full stance of nurses before those first foals come out running. He stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. It's a great place to board your horses. And, of course, they're leading consigners to the major sales as far as that goes. Call the farm at 859-252-3770 and take a look at the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Down through the six decades, a Sally van has been the safest way to the winner's circle. So give them a call at 859-255-9406. See the website at sallyvans.com and enjoy the ride.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursula Ellis.
All righty. Well, I've got my good friend Steve Moody on the air right now. Of course, he's the author of the Gulfstream Handicapper Sheet, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And I think the feature down there today is the inside information. Is that correct?
That's it, Ursula.
All
grade,
right.
Grade two for... For fillies and mares, going seven furlongs.
Okay.
And 10 horses. 10 horses drawn for this race, Ursula. It's supposed to be weather could be a little iffy down there by the time this rolls around. It's the 12th race on the card, and. I think it's supposed to be fairly nice early in the day, but chance of showers as we go along. So not sure what the sort of condition the track will be in by 5:30 or so by the time this race rolls around. But, you know, this looks like that it looks to be like a lot of speed in this race, Ursula. We've got the 7-horse Flutterby, 8-horse the favorite Stone Tastic, the bottom horse Dogwood Trail, who's an outsider, but has a lot of speed. This looks like the race will set up for something that can rate a little bit. And, I kind of think that, Best Behavior, fits the bill here. Decent little price at 5-1. And, this horse, last time, was, in the Royal Delta Stakes, which is a two turn race, faded in that race, but, has definitely been better in races with one turn, going a flat mile or 6 furlongs, 7 furlongs, which is what today is. So she's back at the right, sort of setup for her. She's got the right running style to take advantage of the expected speed duel up front. So I'm going to give her the edge. She's been working well. She's had 3 bullet works since her last start. Marty Wolfson's always dangerous down there, and you get John Velasquez aboard. So looks like this race is going to set up well for her if the speed sets up like I think it will. So I'm going to give her a slight edge over the favorite, Stonetastic, who will be winging it early. The only question mark for her is there is some other pace in here, and she's unproven at 7 furlongs. She's very tough at 6 and even at 6.5, but she's never won at 7. So given that and the fact she's going to face some other pressure, I couldn't take her at 8-5. And then the two horse, You Bought Her, is another one to look at. Has not won at Gulfstream yet, but has been pretty consistent, sort of knocking at the door. I think she could maybe get part of it here. She's another one that's going to be running at the end. But I think the race will set up well for the 5, Best Behavior. I'm going to give it to her and hopefully get a decent price there. I don't know if we'll end up with 5-1, maybe get 3 or 4-1 out of it. And so we'll go 5-8-2 in the inside information.
5-8-2 in the inside information. Well, I got to ask you, what did Middle Tennessee do to your NCAA brackets?
Oh, well, it exploded them. Of course, they had already taken plenty of incoming before she had shown up on the scene. So it was just further. Further chaos.
I couldn't believe it. I was one of the few games I got to watch most of it. And, when Michigan State pulled in the first half, got within a couple of points out of them, I said, well, they'll put them away in the third, in the next half. Hell, they never could get the lead.
They it's one thing, Ursula, when you beat a big team like that upset somebody, and maybe you beat them, sort of a low scoring slug it out game, 55-52 or something like that. But Middle Tennessee put up 90 points. I mean, they didn't back down at all. Every time Michigan State tried to make a run, they just kept right on going. And to score that many points on Michigan State is really something. They just they played a heck of a game.
What was their record going into the tournament? Do you know?
I do not know. Also, I know they were.
Doesn't make any difference now, does it?
They were. Of course, they're in the same. They're in the same conference as Western, and
I think they won their conference, didn't they?
Yeah, they won the conference tournament.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what their record was. I mean, it couldn't have been all that spectacular, or they wouldn't have been a 15 seed.
Well, that's true. Well, yeah. Well, I guess that's true. Well, what's the spread on Kentucky and Indiana?
3. Last I saw, it was Kentucky 3.
Kentucky by 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I was just talking to Rusty and seeing, trying to remember how many times we have played Indiana in the NCAA tournament, and I could, you know, 73 we played them and lost. 75, of course, we beat them in that legendary game up in Dayton, and then 83 we beat them in Knoxville. It was the game before the Louisville game down there, the quote unquote dream game. It's nightmare game as far as I'm concerned. But
yeah.
And then in 2012 we played them there in Atlanta in the regionals, and that's, so we're 3-1 as far as I can tell against Indiana in the NCAA tournament. I hope it hope we can stay that way, although today's date is not a good date in UK basketball history. March 19th is probably maybe one of the worst dates in UK history.
What was that now?
Well, the Runts lost to Texas Western on March 19th.
Okay.
Then the 77 team with Givens and Roby and Lee and Phillips and Larry Johnson, they lost to North Carolina in the East Regional Finals on March 19th. That's the game, you know, when Carolina went to the four corners for the whole second half.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Yeah.
And that was the end of that four corner, too.
Ironically, that was both those games were in the same place.
Is that right? I didn't know that. Well, you're a historian when it comes to the UK there, aren't you?
66 game and 77 game, those two games were both in the Cole Field House up in Maryland. That was one of our House of Horrors.
Yeah. Well, how do you see this game today?
You know, it's I'm just – well, a couple things concern me. One is the fans – you know, there's just not, from what everything I hear, there's not very many Kentucky fans there. And, of course, it's going to be dominated by Kansas fans, who I think will, you know, will root for Indiana. And then I think Indiana's got a lot more fans there than we do. And then I think, you know, don't really know who the locals, you know, the Iowa people that bought tickets and maybe decide to go, who they'll root for, but chances are I'd say they'll maybe root for Indiana, being it's a Big Ten, they're both in the Big Ten and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's going to be like a road game, which is unusual for us in the tournament. Usually we have more fans than anybody else, but it's not going to be the case today.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, it's been kind of a fun tournament anyway. Did you stay up for the first game we played?
No, I just recorded it, and I got up about 3 a.m. and watched it then. I mean, I knew that we had won, but I didn't see it until early morning. And tell you what, it was like what I was talking about with the fans. It was very eerie listening to the game, because you hear Tom say, you know, Kentucky scores, and there was almost no audible, you know, cheering, clapping. It was almost like Tom was back in the studio somewhere calling it, like, you know, the old days when the baseball announcers used to, you know, recreate the
play-by-play. I remember that.
There was no crowd noise at all when we scored. It's just,
well, at least you couldn't hear the teletype in the back. Maybe you used to be able to hear the teletype in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Well, thanks. It's been Steve Moody, who's the author of the Gulfstream Handicapper Sheet, and it's published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And go to brisnet.com and brisnet.com, and you can pick it up. Okay, Steve, thanks so much.
All right, Ursula.
Go Cats.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, Mizzen Mass on a roll. He signed four stakes winners already this year. Maybe I should say that he's on another roll, because remember, when he signed two Grade 1 Breeders' Cup winners
In the same year, Flotilla won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Phillies Turf and Misdirection, the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Then the next year, Flotilla won the Classic French 1,000 Guineas and Misdirection won the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint for the second year in a row. Both fillies earned over $1 million. Miz and Mazz 4 2016 winners, including another millionaire, Sea Defense, whose recent stakes win was in the Group 1 Stewart's Cup. He's a Miz and Mazz. He's Miz and Mazz 8th grade or Group 1 winner. Paulina's Love has won the Grade 2 Buena Vista Stakes at Santa Anita this year and right at $305,000. Stone-tastic 2016 stakes win came in the Miami Shores of Gulfstream. She goes in the graded stakes today. Winner early, the Grade 2 Prowess, Stone-tastic, has earned over $512,000. Mid-Mass 4th 2016 stakes winner is One Mean Man. Won a nice stakes down at the fairgrounds. Last year, Mizzen Mass has Mizzen Mass has sired superior stakes winners. They put one in your racing stable, breed a mare to him for $12,500 at Judmont Farm. Or you can buy one at one of the major sales. For more information, call Garrett Roker on Friday, 859-272-7629, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers picked up four more stakes just last weekend. Champion Teppin added another stakes win to her resume. She won the Grade 2 Hillsborough at Tampa Bay. She's earned more than $2,685,000. At Oaklawn, the Grade 3 Honeybee Stakes went to Terra Promisa, another runner bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. Strawberry Baby, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm and raised at Brandywine, won the Big Easy Stakes at the fairgrounds. And the Challenger Stakes at Tampa Bay was won by Adirondack King, bred by Stonewall Farm Stags. Give them the best on the farm, and they'll give you their best at the races. McCauley Brothers, for decades, has produced products exclusively for the horse. And just last year, horses raised on their products won over 200 stakes. So give Mike Warren or David Longmire a call at 859-873-3333. Talk to them about the McCauley products and the free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase. Take a look at the website, McCauleyBros.com. And you're welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. And keep in mind that at McCauley's, it's all about the horse. Daily Racing Form. What I want you to do to get the breeding edition is to log on to drf.com/breeding update and sign up today. And you'll find in-depth breeding news and sales coverage and auction coverage, articles by some of their top writers. They've really got some wonderful writers at the Daily Racing Forum now, the best they've ever had, I believe. And it's a great, you'll find in-depth breeding news, sales, auction coverage, and just about everything you can think of. And, of course, they've always loaded down with past performances. There's 6-7 sets of past performances in there. I don't see how you can do without it if you bet a dollar or two every now and then. On Tuesday, make sure you get that edition of Daily Racing Form Breeding. They have the most comprehensive stakes report available anywhere for owners and breeders about the stakes races run in North America the previous weekend. They provide full details on black type stakes in North America, including pedigree, detailed progeny reports in the female family, information on the winning sires. It's a great addition, but of course, every day with a Daily Racing Form is a great addition. You can't go wrong. It's racing's Bible.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursa Lele.
All right, well, I guess my guest is not going to show up today. I knew he had too many farms going for him.
Stood up brokenhearted again.
Yeah.
Just like at your prom, huh?
We've got my prom. it's been so long ago, I can't remember. A prom. Well, we're talking about inside information stakes race down at Gulfstream today. And if you don't know who Inside Information was, well, let me remind you a little bit about her, because she was a foal of 1991, bred and owned by Ogden Mills Phipps and trained by Shug McGahee. And she was the champion handicap mare as a four-year-old. She was by private account. Private account, of course, a top sire. He sired 14 crops and almost 60 stakes winners and a bunch of champions down there. And he's... He was by Damascus, had a number to count by book bastards. Oh, man, that's Claiborne breeding. And inside formation was that of a mare named Pure Prophet. And good Lord, look at the black type horses. I've got a pedigree over here. And there's so many black type horses coming up in that family. One of the all-time great family, because Pure Prophet was by Key to the Mint. And she was also the dam of Educated Risk, a Mr. Prospector filly that won $1,163,000. She won the Frisette Grade 1. She won the Top Fly Grade 1. She won the Churchill Downs Breeders' Cup Handicap. Now, this is Educated Risk. Educated Risk, R-I-S-K. She won the Rampart. Was a great race mare herself, Grade 2. Virginia Handicap. The Shirley Jones, another great race mare. Ran second to Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. And she was a top flight mare, Educated Risk, and a good producer. She was the dam of a couple of stakes winners. Consequence, filly by El Prado, won the American 1,000 Guinea Stakes at the Arlington Park, ran third in the Beaumont out of Keeneland Grade 2. She produced Strategy, who was by APND, another filly, who won the real prize stakes at Aqueduct, placed in some stakes races. And she was Educated Risk, was a grand dam of some other horses, you know. Also had a Pure Prophet, and it was inside formation's half-sister, half-brother, Diamond, by Mr. Prospector, who was a stakes winner at the Meadowlands. And Hidden Reserve, another Mr. Prospector, was a stakes place mare. She placed in Demoiselle and the Bed of Roses and produced three nice stakes winners in Reload, a hard-spun colt at... they're still racing, incidentally. He's earned over $550,000. He's won the Canadian Turf Stakes, a Grade 3, won again the Grade 3 Tampa Bay Stakes. Philanthropist, a Chris S. Colt, that won the Queens County Handicap. Defer is a Danzy Colt, who won the Laurel Futurity, which was a Grade 3 at that time, and placed some other stakes. Also from that immediate female family. Well, the second dam was Clear Ceiling by Bold Ruler, and she was a sister to What a Pleasure, Bold Queen, Bold Princess. She was a half-sister to Misty Morn, Full Flight, Misty Flight, Grey Phantom. I mean, what kind of a family was that? Getting back to Inside Information's race record, she was started 17 times and won 14 races, was never out of the money. She had 1 second and 2/3. Started as she won her first start as a maiden, special Belmont, came back and ran third in an allowance race. And then she won a bunch of stakes in races in a row. She won an allowance race by 7 at Gulfstream Park. Won 3 in a row at Gulfstream, you know. The second one win there was another allowance race, and then she won the Grade 2 Bonnie Miss Stakes. Followed by the Ashland out here at Keeneland. Won that by 5.5. She won the Acorn at Belmont by 11. And finally got beat in her next to last start. It was in the Mother Goose Stakes, and who beat her? That was Lakeway beat her that day. And she, I don't know what happened to her. She got beat 10¼ lengths, so something happened. That was so she came back in November. That was in June, though, but she was off from June until November, and she came back and won again. An allowance race by 8. Then she won out at Keeneland in the spring in 1995 by 4. They took up to Belmont. She won the Chuvie, beating Sky Beauty, incidentally. Beat a nice one there, didn't she? Sent over to Monmouth Park, and she won the Monmouth Breeders' Cup Handicap, beating Morning Meadow. She won the Molly Pitcher at Monmouth. Back-to-back there. She won that by over 6 lengths. That was a Grade 2 stakes. Then she ran second in the Ballerina at Saratoga and closed out her racing career with 3 consecutive wins. She won the Ruffian Grade 1 by 11 lengths. That was at Belmont Park. Then they brought her over to Keeneland, and she won the Spinster by stakes by a head. And the last start of her career was a Breeders' Cup Distaff. And she won that race by 13 and a half lengths. Under it says a brisk hand ride. So they bred her and sent her to over to Claiborne Farm, and they bred her to Mr. Prospector. The first foal was a filly named Illicit. Was unraced, but she was the dam of Gone Astray, who won the Ohio Derby, grade two. She also won the Salvatore Mile and the Pennsylvania Derby, placed in a bunch of other stakes. She skipped on down. She had an unnamed Seeking the Gold colt. She had a Seeking the Gold colt that was unraced, an unraced Danzy colt. And they bred it unbridled, and she had a winner by name Manipulator. And finally, she produced a stakes winner. Named Smuggler by Unbridled, who was a champion three-year-old filly, two wins as a two-year-old. But as a three-year-old, she won the Coaching Club of American Oaks. She won the Mother Goose and ran second in the Acorn. I don't know what's the matter with my voice. It's going. Excuse me. Then she had one other foal, a broadbrush filly named Collusion, that raced, and she just placed. And ended up barren, slip, but that's the way it goes. Well, she did. She was a decent producer. She was a grand dam of a stakes winner and the dam of a champion. So that's a little bit better than decent, I would say. Wouldn't you, Jackie?
Yes, sir.
I forgot to announce that tomorrow at the horse park in the covered arena, 1 o'clock polo, which is a good place to go sit in nasty weather and watch them swing those mallets and gallop around the covered arena. So
just don't get in the way of those mallets.
I'm here to tell you.
Well, last Saturday at Turfway, the ninth race of Maiden Special for three-year-old fillies was won by Alta Rita. That's another runner from the first crop of Albertus Maximus. Now Alta Rita bested the field of 10 by a comfortable 2 3/4 length. She was bred by Ponder Hill Farm in Kentucky. Races for the Preston Stables right next to the Thoroughbred Center right here. And she's a $90,000 graduate of the September sales at Keenan. And she won the 6.5 furlong event in a style suggesting that she's going to love two turns. Why not? Albertus Maximus decided a group stakes winner abroad and a stakes winner in the USA in his first crop, which raced at 2 last year. Winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and won 33-2. Also winner of the Grade 1 Don Handicap and winner of over $1,328,000. He stands free to approved mares. And stands at Shadwell Farm. That's the home also of DeHare and Interdab. Both those are proven sires of graded stakes winners. Give stallion manager Kent Barnes a call over at Shadwell Farm, 859-224-4585. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives. See the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigrees for more than 2 million foals? Then Brissette.com's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand. Go to brisnet.com/APR. Optimized for tablet and mobile, brisnet.com's APR online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on nearly every North American thoroughbred dating back more than a century. Race records, public auction prices, pedigree statistics, and more, all included for $275 per year. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why the APR has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations. And why a new generation is using APR online.
What? All righty, let's see where. Oh, Daredevil. One of the coveted Grade 1 Champagne Stakes is a two-year-old, posting a brilliant 107 buyer speed rating in the process. That 107 was the fastest buyer of any two-year-old at over a mile in two decades. And keep in mind that the Champagne has been won by the likes of Uncle Mo, Union Rag, Scat Daddy, Shanghai Bobby. And boy, that's fast company. Daredevil is sired by the internationally successful More Than Ready, his stablemate at Windstar Farm. And he's out of the excellent race mare and superior producer, Chase the Wild Wind, by Mr. Prospector's top son, 49er. Chase the Wild Wind has produced two Grade 1 winners. Daredevil's half-brother won a Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And there are 5 Grade 1 winners under his first two dams. 5 of them. This is the immediate family of champion Triptych, champion Trillion, champion Charlemagne, champion Generous, and a host of others. Daredevil is standing his first season stud for $12,500. Payable when the foal stands in nursery, stands I gave it to you, $12,500. Due when the foal stands in nursery. Why don't you call Kyle Wilson or Sean Tugel or Caroline Wilson? Call Caroline. She's by far the cutest. 859-873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
All righty. Well, since my guest didn't show up.
I know.
I've got some more time, so I'm going to read something, read another Joe Palmer.
That sounds good.
Do another segment worth of Joe.
Yeah. You know, it was real interesting. We were talking without mentioning names. Joe Palmer wrote those wonderful American Racehorses series, right?
Right.
Right. We got some older ones, and the difference between other writers and Joe is just an amazing thing. He was beyond good. I mean, I don't know how you describe him. He had the right word for everything, and he had the right tone, and he had, you know.
He was entertaining.
And entertaining. Yeah. You just couldn't put it down, and preceding him was a bunch of, you know, I mean, the facts were there, I suppose, but it was totally different. And when you read one and then you read the other, you think, holy cow.
I loaned an edition to, I didn't loan it to him, but we had an extra edition of his book, Joe, This Was Racing, to Dr. Bob Copeland.
Yeah.
And he's like I am, he's a Man of War fan, you know, but anyway, he called when an article in that book is that Joe was writing about, you know, the death of Sam Riddle and writing about Man of War and so, and Bill Harbert and so forth. And he quoted, he says, Ursel, when I got to this one section, and he's describing Will Harbert's relationship with Man of War, and he says, that's the greatest thing I have ever read written about a horse.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's an amazing.
March the 29th is Man of War's birthday, so I've got some stuff I'm going to do. The next show will be the 26th, so that's close enough.
Sure, absolutely.
I don't think Man of War will complain.
You never know.
Remember, when you visit the horse park over there, you're supposed to genuflect in front of that statue.
And leave a carrot or two.
All right. Well, anyway, he was writing, and this little bit here, he was writing, I don't know if I've got time or not. I'll try. Writing about the late lamented Hialeah racetrack.
Oh, I know. Yeah. What a shame.
Well, they're running quarter horse races down there.
I don't
care. You know, anyway, but this was from Miami Farm. He wrote it back in the 40s, and it's titled Alligators and Women. It was disturbing to hear that there were alligators at Hialeah. Nobody wants to knock another man's game. Still, trotters and runners don't mix. It looks like they could stay. No, interrupted a nimble-minded citizen. These alligators aren't trotting horses. They're the authentic Florida article, wrapped in the genuine alligator skin. This made a difference. Application was duly made to Joe Marr, who, as track superintendent, is a committee in charge of protecting the infield poultry from coons, possums, turtles, rat, alligators, and similar vermin. Yes, said Mr. Marr, we get an alligator out of the lake every now and then. Sometimes we get pretty big ones. This year we caught a little one, 3 feet or so, first week of the meeting. I've got him up there in a trap hoping he'll draw another one. So far he hadn't. The alligator it develops lies just under the surface of the lake with his eyes sticking up, like subway kiosks. At night, the eyes pick up and reflect light like a cat's, except that the gleam is red. Mr. Marr is so adept that he can tell by the spacing of the eyes how much alligator is underneath. In early years, his style of play was to take a rifle of appropriate caliber and muzzle velocity and blow the saurian into something suitable for covering a lady's purse. Not long ago, however, the Florida legislature, with a fellow feeling for predators, dropped its mantle over the alligator, and it is now illegal to shoot him. Mr. Marr now catches his alligators in a funnel-shaped screen, like a fish trap. For a while, he thought of getting help from the Seminoles, the aborigines who encumbered Florida when it was discovered. The Seminoles are reputedly able to call alligators out of the water. But after weighing the advantages of alligators and no Seminoles, or Seminoles and no alligators, Mr. Marr set his traps. I don't think they'd bother the flamingos, Mr. Marr said, but they pulled down those coots and maybe some of the bigger ducks. baby ducks we can't let out anyway because the bass eat them. Protection of his decorative fauna has made something of a woodsman and trapper out of Mr. Mara. For his mammalian marauders, the racetrack is the clue. It is harried to silky fineness at night, and then if there are tracks in it, in the morning, Mr. Mara knows that something is trying for his fowls, and he takes steps accordingly. Generally, the ducks are the objective of the raiders, but eggs will do, the principle of the intruders being that of the late William Jennings Bryan. First the duck, then the egg. The alligators are trickier to find. I know there's at least one more in there, Mr. Mara said, but we'll get him sooner or later. It was noted there was a strong masculine flavor to all this. Might it be a lady alligator? Well, right now, I don't know what's in there, said Mr. Mara. The track was underwater in the flood last summer, and anything could have come in. But generally, we catch males. If a female alligator is getting enough to eat, she stays where she is. It's the boar alligators that get out and range around the country. This plucked a faint string of recollection. Man I know came out the other morning to watch the horses work. They came thundering down, some no doubt for a date with Destiny, and others for en route to Dade Park. He was feeling the appropriate sentiments about these rehearsals for the coming drama when he happened to turn to the clubhouse lawn. Five women were sitting in a row, holding seats against the afternoon's racing, all placidly knitting in the sun. He found an odd reassurance in this. Said it just proved that women would make a nest and settle in it wherever they went. You agree with that, Jackie?
I absolutely do.
Do you?
Uh-huh. Raise my right hand and swear. Uh-huh. Yes, I agree.
Well, I've heard you swear without raising your right hand, but anyway.
Well, my fingers were crossed.
Last Saturday at the fairgrounds, Strawberry Baby, a filly from the first crop of Warrior's Reward, won the Big Easy Stakes, posting her second stakes win and fifth win from nine career starts. Strawberry Baby was bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm, and she's one of 15 stakes horses from the first two crops by Warrior's Reward, a leading first and second crop sire. Strawberry Baby's latest stakes win came at the fairgrounds with others by Warrior's Reward, earning black type at Saratoga, at Belmont, at Aqueduct, at Keeneland, Churchill Downs, Woodbine, Gulfstream, Del Mar, Laurel. In other words, at the races. And six have earned black type and graded stakes. Warrior's Reward is siring runners. And that's why in 2015 his yearling sold for up to $205,000. 2-year-olds for up to $310,000. A grade one winner by Medaglia d'Oro. Warrior's Reward stands for $10,000. Doing a full stance of nurses, and he's eligible for Spencer's popular breed secure program. Just call Dez Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and take a look at the website, SpendthriftFarm.com.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursula Ellis.
I don't think I'm on. There you go. 5 minutes I've got. Well, I'll take a real look. They run the Azari Stakes down at... Where are they running the Zurich Stakes today? They run it at Oak Lawn Park. And, of course, she was a champion handicap mare herself. She was a foal in 1998 by Jade Hunter, who ended up over at Old Friends. Michael should have stuck around for this.
Yeah.
And she was out of an Australian mare named Anonura, who was placed and sent came over to this country, and she won the Coca-Cola 2-year-old Classic. I wonder where that was. No, she won that in Australia. That's a Group 3 race. Huh. Well, okay. Well, she's a little better than I thought she was. But it's all a foreign pedigree. Of course, Azari had run 24 times, won 17 races with 4 seconds and earned $4,079,000. That's not a bad kind of a race record. And she was the dam of... a filly named Wine Princess by Go Sapper. And Wine Princess was a runner. She won 5 times and earned $461,000. She won the Fall City Handicap. Of course, that's up at Churchill Downs, Group 2 race. She won the Monmouth Oaks, so it's a Grade 3 race. She won the ran second in the Indiana Oaks, Grade 2, the Molly Pitcher, Grade 2, the Chaluki, Grade 2, the Locust Grove, and the Judmont Spencer, which was Grade 1. She was third in that. And then she had another stakes place horse by Deep Impact that raced over in Japan. I guess they sent her to, they must have sent her to Japan because she's had three foals were foaled over there. Well, I think that's what Michael said, that she was in Japan, and she's on the list to get back to old friends.
You know what her name means? It's a member of Turkish people from Azerbaijan. It's traditionally Shiite Muslim people of Azerbaijan and adjacent areas of Armenia and Iran, Iran, whatever you want to say it.
Ah.
So.
Well, she was a flat runner.
Well,
like I said, she won 17 of her 24 starts and earned over $4 million. Won her first two starts at Santa Anita and at Hollywood Park. And then she won her third start at Santa Anita again. Finally, she got beat in a fourth start, the La Canada Stakes. Summer Colony beat her. And then she rolled off, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 11 consecutive wins. I wouldn't mind having one of those.
No.
And those wins came the Santa Margarita, the Apple Blossom, grade one. Of course, the Santa Margarita was grade one. The Milady Breeders' Cup Handicap at Hollywood Park, grade one. She won the Vanity, grade one at Hollywood Park. Won the grade two C.L. Hirsch Handicap at Del Mar. The Ladies' Secret Breeders' Cup Handicap, grade two at Santa Anita. She won the Center East, and she won the Breeders' Cup Distaff, grade one at Arlington. She won the Apple Blossom, grade one. That was at Oak Lawn Park. She won the Milady Breeders' Cup Handicap at Hollywood Park. She won the grade one Vanity Handicap at Hollywood Park. She won that C.L. Hirsch Handicap again, grade two, and ended up the year with a third. Was that the last race of the year? Yeah, she'd get beat in Ladies' Secret Breeders' Cup Handicap. She did lose that. And then she came back the next year, won the Apple Blossom again. She won the Gopher Wand, grade one, and the Spinster, grade one. Beating Tar Wheel and maybe on, I can't Mayo on the side. Huh. That was in 2004. I should have seen that. But I can't remember the race at all. Well, that's all right. I forgot my Prevagen for the last 3 days. All right. Well, anyway, the last race of her career was she went out of the Monday to Breeders' Cup Classic. But she's quite a match. She's going to be over at Old Friends, I think, sooner or later.
Yeah.
Sound from the produce record, she's going to be over there sooner. All right, well, that music means it's Dale and Roy singing to us, and time for us to sign off. And I don't know what happened to my guest, but...
I probably got a horse doing something.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Okay, well, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Robert, down at the station, and thank you, Ressi, here, and good luck to everybody, and go Cats!
When we're together,